me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. We say it sincerely, but it's just good to be here and appreciate so very, very much your desire to be with us this morning. And there is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. And I ask my brethren to kind of look around and see if somebody may not have a bulletin. You're welcome to go back and get one, just don't keep going out the door. Don't be satisfied with just the outline. Titled the lesson that comes from our reading this morning. Well, yes, I want to go to heaven. And Jesus, to the Apostle John, to the churches, gave some reasons or a recommendation about heaven. You know, we make recommendations quite often. I know people to make recommendations about restaurants. They'll recommend a movie or a vacation place. And if we trust their recommendation, we're inspired to probably perhaps attend that particular place that they recommend. I've even known people to recommend horrible things. I've been out to eat with some folks and they may take a bite of something and they, oh, that's not good at all. Here, try it, Brian. And I'll say, wait a minute. No, no thanks, but no thanks. They'll say, no, it's really horrible. Try it. I'll say, that's not a good recommendation. You're not convincing me that I should take a bite of that. Well, when it comes to heaven, we don't have anybody here today who's been there and returned to inspire us to go there. But we do have a travel brochure, and I'll call it, you know, from God, the Bible, to convince us that it's a place where we should want to go. So the lesson this morning is some things, the reasons why I want to go to heaven, and those are the things that I'll share with you this morning. You can add to the list. But number one, I want to go to heaven because I want to see loved ones that I've missed. You know, my desire for heaven gets stronger with every funeral, every trip to the cemetery. It seems like the older I grow, the more I talk about those who have preceded me in death, those who've gone. I remember one time Christine's cousin named Marcia, passed away, just a young lady, perhaps in her 40s. We were at the funeral, and Christine was talking to her Aunt Wilma, Marcia's mother. I was just a little to the side, but I could hear the conversation. And Wilma, obviously, so sad. But Christine said, Wilma, don't forget that Daryl's already on the other side. And Grandma Icy mentioned a couple of other names that have passed on. And she said, they're waiting for her to come. They're there. Comforting words. We're going to be with those who've gone on before. Now, put in your notes and recognizes this truth. The expression is, when someone died, he was gathered to his people. Wow. I'll read the list for you. In Genesis 25, verse 8, I have these written down in my notes. So. Abraham breathed his last. Died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. Verse 17. These are the years of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. Genesis 35. Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. Genesis 49. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered unto his people. In Numbers chapter 20, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people. Numbers 27, the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abiram and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered unto your people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, David and Bathsheba had a baby, and the baby was ill. And so the verse says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 22, David said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he's dead. Why should I fast?" And then David asked the question, "Can I bring him back again?" The answer was no. David said, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me to see people I miss. I want to be gathered to my people." Parents? Christine's parents? Dee and Ella? "I want to be gathered to my people. Brethren. God's children. God, remember those who have gone on before me. I can just see them in my mind's eye. I can recall them. And yet through the eye of faith, I can see them on the other side. And when it comes time for my departure, I'm going to be gathered to my people. To my people. So I want to go to heaven to continue relationships with people that I've loved here." Paul said concerning the second coming of Jesus in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14, said, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and I believe that, we believe that, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." In verse 18 he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I want to go to heaven so I can see again those that I miss. Second, I want to go to heaven because I want to be free from fear of death. I don't look forward to dying. I really, in my faith, don't have fear in a sense. I just don't want to leave right now. Paul said, "I'd rather depart and be with Christ, but to stay is needful." Yeah. There's a work that I still want to do, be a part of. But the Hebrew writer said in chapter 9, verse 27, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment." See, death is used, if I counted right, well, just over 900 times in the Bible in various forms. And the last time the word death is used in the Bible is in Revelation 21, verse 4. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." Ah. I want to go to heaven so I don't have to fear death anymore. In heaven, you see, there's not going to be a hearse. There won't be a long line of cars with their lights on following a coach. There won't be any funeral plans, no funeral service, no tearful goodbyes. There won't be any hillsides marked with tombstones. There won't be any mortuaries. Sorry, Pam and Dennis, you're going to be out of work. David said in Psalm 23, a very familiar verse when we read at funerals, but verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through," and I like that word "through," "through the valley of the shadow of death." You see, like, oh, it gets worse every time. I'm going to walk, but I'm going to walk through it, the valley, the shadow, and death. Next phrase, "I'll fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want to go to heaven because I want to be free from the fear of death. Number three, I want to go to heaven because I want to see God. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He shall dwell with them." They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. To me, one of the most wonderful aspects of heaven is the presence of God. God preached sermons on heaven many times before. And most of those things, when I recall those lessons, I would give a description of heaven. But now I think my emphasis is changing to who's going to be there. You know what makes heaven heaven is God. He's going to be there. You know, if heaven's streets were gravel instead of gold, and if heaven's walls were cardboard instead of jasper, and if God's throne were a dining room table, it would still be heaven because God is there. I don't want to go to heaven just because it's described as a pretty place. There are a lot of pretty places. I've seen a lot of pretty places. I can't name the prettiest. It seems like every time I see something pretty, I think, well, this is the prettiest I've ever seen. Go someplace and, well, this is the prettiest. It was not the climate or the fresh fruit. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God didn't just put Adam and Eve together and leave them saying, enjoy, I'll see you another day. He was there with them. You see, as an example in life, that make the place pretty. Isn't it? We go someplace and we go alone. It's just not the same. It's the people. You know, during the week, I'm here at this pretty building by myself. Many times I walk through the auditorium to go check the mail, and I look around. I like the color of this carpet and the pews and things. This is a pretty place to me. But it's prettier when you're here. When people are here. I want to go to heaven because God is there. In Psalm 33, verse 13, it says, the Lord looks from heaven. He beholds the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. So I want to go to God's house to see God. It wouldn't be the same if God wasn't there. You know, if I could go home back to Muskegon, Michigan and see the house where I grew up in, I might enjoy seeing that, but it wouldn't be the same because Mom and Dad aren't there. Not the same. I want to go to heaven, but I want to see God. God will be there. Number four, I want to go to heaven to be free of former things. And that's a biblical phrase. Former things. I know God's, when I think about it, God's given me a wonderful life here. Blessed life. I say, thank you. Especially I think I've had a wonderful life from a worldly perspective. But yet, and even with that, I know what it feels like to cry. I know what it feels like to be hurt. I know what it is to toss and turn. I know discouragement. I know there's things that I've lost. I know there's things that I can't afford. I know that not all of my dreams have come true or will come true. I need to change the subject. I'm getting depressed. It's not so wonderful anymore. But one of these days, there will be no remembrance in Revelation 21, verse 4 of former things. Here's the verse again. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want to go to heaven so I don't have to be involved in these things. Number five. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed, and that's rightly so, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So now He's put us here. He says, you know what? There's something over here. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Thank you. In verse 9, He says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want to go to heaven to receive my inheritance. There's a song that we sing titled Mansion, Robe, and a Crown. Those things are mentioned in the Bible. Jesus said in John 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Yeah, there's a mansion. Inheritance? I want to go to heaven. There's a mansion. A mansion waiting for me. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul says, we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, I know that, I'm going to die, it's appointment, but we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, it's eternal in the heavens. I have a mansion waiting for me, an inheritance. I have a robe. In Revelation 6, verse 1, it says, white robes were given unto every one of them. Picture heaven. In the next chapter, chapter 7, verse 9, says, after this, I beheld a great multitude. No man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Get a mansion? Get a robe? A white robe. And a crown. It's getting better all the time. I want to go to heaven. I don't live in a mansion here. I have a robe. Tattered. But I have a house and a robe. Don't have a crown. But in heaven I have one. Mansion, robe, and a crown. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. But what is our hope? Ah, there it is. My hope. A crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing. And then, are not you even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? I want to go to heaven. Last one I put, because I want to rest. I want to rest. Revelation 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, all right, what do you want to say to me? Said, write this down. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works do follow with them. Right. I want to go to heaven. Rest is something we all enjoy after a time of work. It's something we look forward to. And heaven's rest is going to be better than just an evening here. Or a weekend, or a vacation day, or even a retirement. Heaven's going to be better, a better rest. Like I say, you can add to this list, but I'll put these things just thinking about. I want to go to heaven to be with loved ones who died. I want to be free from any fear of death. I want to be free from former things. These things. I want to receive my inheritance, a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I bet that song's not in our book. We'd sing it. Because I want to rest. If I put this very end of your notes, you want to go to heaven. Right? I hope the answer is yes. But you have to get there God's way. God's way. It's not on your own terms. You can't say to God, this is the way I think I should get to heaven. Can't do that. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, not a way among many ways. I'm the truth. I'm not a truth among many truths. I'm not included in a smorgasbord of ideas. I'm the truth. He said, I'm the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. Nobody. No, not one comes to the Father but by Him. That's the invitation we always extend at the close of a lesson. It's a simple procedure that's outlined in the Bible. One of Jesus' last words in His ministry on earth after His resurrection and after 40 days right before His ascension, He told those that were disciples that were gathered there in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, He said, you go into all the world. In other words, you tell everybody. You don't leave anybody out. You let that word be known. That God want that gospel preached to everybody. And then He says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Conditions. I need to believe the gospel message. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, point number one, Paul said, how can you believe in Him you've not heard? So we need to go preach. Get the word out, number one. Then second, I need to believe that. I need to believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. So I need to hear God, the good news that God so loves the world. He gave the Son. Then I need to believe that message. Then number three, as Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I don't want to perish. I don't want to do that. I want to go to heaven. So I need to repent, turn my life around, turn it toward God. Then number four, I want to confess my faith in what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's the confession the Ethiopian made to Philip when he preached unto him Jesus in Acts chapter 8. And then when Philip is preaching to the Ethiopian this message about Jesus, the Ethiopian interrupts Philip. Says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Anything holding me back? Philip just said, if you believe, you may. He said, and then he made that confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded right then and there, commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. They both go down into the water and Philip baptizes him. They come up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. And you hear me say it so often. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. You have the ability to make it. If you heard the good news, you believe it. You're willing to turn your life around. Confess your faith. And then be baptized. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the message. That's the encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. If you need to respond in a public way, just simply come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song.